When you think about Greek life, Christian faith might be the absolute last thing that comes to mind. But we not only believe that it's possible to be Greek and Christian, but also that it's the best way to experience Greek life and grow your faith. We have real, honest conversations about how to approach Greek life from a Christian perspective, including things like recruiting and pledging, drinking and drugs, sex and dating, leadership and philanthropy, and much more. This podcast is by Greeks and for Greeks. Our hosts and guests are all members of fraternities and sororities who collectively have decades worth of experience living out their faith in Greek life. Welcome to the Greek and Christian Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here for another episode. This is Allison, one of your hosts of the Greek and Christian Podcast. Sadly, J-Mac is not going to be with us this week, and he's got a couple episodes he's going to be out, but I'm excited because we're going to bring in a few guest hosts coming up. But if you are just joining us, we are in a new season all about faith during recruitment. So basically, for new members or pledges, how do you stay connected to God during recruitment, intake, rush, and how do we even make good decisions about which Greek chapter to join? And then for active members, is it even possible to stay connected with your faith during that crazy time of the year when we're recruiting new members? We know it's stressful and it's really hard to stay connected to your faith when you're so distracted and busy. So anyway, each week for this series, we've had a guest lined up from different Greek councils to talk about recruitment and how to stay connected to God during your experience. So we've heard from someone from the NPC, we've heard from someone from an Asian interest fraternity, and today we're going to hear from someone from the NPHC or the National Panhellenic Council. And so let me give you a quick background on the NPHC. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, in season three, we had an episode where we had a guest from the NPHC on to talk about the history of the NPHC and kind of how it got started in relationship to some of the historically white fraternities and sororities. And so if you want to go back and listen, there's kind of a longer episode that deals with the history of the NPHC. But I want to give you just a quick, 101 on that. And so the NPHC is often called the Divine Nine, and these are fraternities and sororities that are historically Black. So we talked a bit about it, like I said, in season three. Make sure to check it out. But NPHC orgs, they support students of color and specifically Black students in college. And they were actually founded during a time in our history when many colleges and many student organizations were barred to students of color. And so it's really amazing. And we have a guest today from one of the oldest historically Black sororities, Kimberly Blackford. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi. Good to be with everyone.
Awesome. So, Kit, let me give a little hype about Kimberly, a little background before we get started. So Kimberly is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and they just celebrated their centennial. So they are 100 plus years old now at this point, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And she went to the University of Louisville. And Kimberly works with InterVarsity. So as you know, me and J-Mac, we work with Greek InterVarsity, InterVarsity's Ministry for Fraternity and Sorority Students. And Kimberly, she works with InterVarsity's Black Campus Ministries. They're often called BCM. And she is a bigwig. So she's a regional coordinator. I knew she was going to laugh when I said bigwig. She's probably like, no, I'm not a bigwig. But she's a regional coordinator for all of the southeast of the U.S. So she oversees ministry for Black students in Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and the panhandle of Florida. And she currently lives in Louisville. So Kimberly, welcome.
Thanks again. Good to be with you, Allison.
Awesome. And hopefully we got some internet issues. I'm just saying this to the audience, so you might hear a delay. I don't know, but we're going to roll with it. It's going to be a great conversation. So Kimberly, let's just jump right in. We were talking beforehand and I was sharing with Kimberly like, oh, I've seen you around InterVarsity. I know who you are, but I don't know a ton about your background. And so I'm excited to kind of be in the shoes of our audience today and get to know you for the first time, really. And so, okay, take me back to college, Kimberly, 18 to 22 years old. Why did you join your sorority and were you always interested in Greek life?
Yeah. So it feels so weird. Like, I look young, but I'm kind of old. And so that was like back in the 1990s, was when I was in college, and back in 1995. Where I was trying to think, do I want to talk about faith first, or do I want to talk about just me and the sorority? I guess I'll start with just what made me interested in Greek life. So coming up, you know, like a lot of, you know, people from Black families, there was just a legacy of, you know, fraternities and sororities in my family. There are people who are part of Divine Nine fraternities and sororities in my family. And so I was always aware of them. You know, like my uncle, he's a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. I have other family members. My aunt, she's a member of Delta Sigma Theta. And I actually was what we call a Delta debutante my junior year in high school. So they had like this whole, you know, coming out party that the Delta sponsored for a number of young ladies in the community. And so, so Greek, understanding Greek life, things like that, that was always a part of my life. You know, I always had kind of those touch points to see what sororities and fraternities did in the community. Just that sense of, you know, brotherhood and sisterhood, the tradition, the legacy that was there. That was just something that I grew up with. So when I went to school, I knew, I was like, I definitely want to pledge. I want to experience that part of college and be a part of, you know, the legacy that you find in the Divine Nine, you know, fraternities and sororities. So I couldn't wait to pledge once I got to school.
I love it. And, you know, for our audience, so Divine Nine recruitment looks really different. I mean, there's similarities between all of the councils and how recruitment or intake works. So it's called intake in the NPHC group. And I'm just curious, crossing over is kind of the equivalent of initiation for the other Greek councils. What year in school were you when you crossed over?
So at my school, you were not allowed to pledge until your second semester. So I didn't pledge until I was a sophomore.
Nice. Okay, Kim. Well, you mentioned that, oh, should I start with faith or should I start with my sorority experience and what drew me to it? So now I would like to hear about kind of your faith background. And so maybe share with me a little bit, what was your faith like when you came to college? Were you following Jesus? And did you think much about your faith when you were deciding to join a sorority?
Yeah, so when I came to college, I definitely had a faith. You know, like I grew up in the church world. My dad was a minister. You know, I just grew up having like a soft heart to the Lord. So I definitely came to school kind of like with this, God awareness, with the relationship with God. It was something that I had always sought out. But I had not really been discipled. And I didn't fully understand the gospel. You know, I didn't understand about God's grace, God's love, that kind of thing. So for me coming to school, I was at a place where my focus and my relationship with God was about around rules, you know, like don't break the rules, don't mess up, be a good girl. If you do mess up, you know, God's not going to be happy with you, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, So it was just a lot of legalism there, I think. And so, you know, that doesn't keep you, you know, when you're kind of facing school and different world, new life, different temptations, all that kind of stuff, like trying to be a rule follower is not going to really help you do well in that setting or desire to stay close to God. And so when I came to school, you know, like everybody, I wanted to experience college life and I wanted to, you know, have fun and just go out and experience different things. And so it was really like for the first 2 years that I was in school, I kind of lived with one foot in the church and then one foot kind of in the world and was really kind of trying to juggle both worlds. And there was just a lot of, you know, back and forth turmoil kind of inside of me. And so when I, like I said, I pledged my sophomore year. So that was still kind of when I was you know, kind of going back and forth, but I still try to, but I was still seeking God, you know, like God was still a part of who I was. And so, so I came into the sorority kind of with the mindset that they are going to know what I'm about and that God is one of the main things that I'm about. And there are certain things that I will not do. And I try to really kind of walk out those decisions as I was going through like the intake process and just different, I guess, experiences with people. So I was really committed to walking that out. And even for me, it wasn't a question of, you know, I know some people kind of sometimes will ask, you know, should I pledge? Does God want me to pledge? You know, that kind of thing. Should I pledge as a Christian? I actually was not in a place where I was asking those questions. It was just assumed like I am going to do this. And so, but I do feel like God helped me in the process. And just one example of that was coming in actually, before I was really sure of what I wanted to pledge, you know, I had kind of made some comments about Zeta and they were not the best. And so the person I made them to, they were actually about to pledge Zeta and I didn't know it. And so later on, I found out that she did. And so when I had decided that I actually wanted to be a part of Zeta Phi Beta, that that I thought it was, you know, like an awesome organization that I wanted to be a part of, she remembered that I had said some things and she told other people that I had said some things. And so they were kind of, you know, certain people were kind of just gunning for me in the initial steps to decide, should I, you know, be part of intake or not. And before the interview, because we had an interview that we had to go through before the interview, I felt like God had just told me to kind of just do my work and really do some things to understand the organization and know history and just some key information. And so when I went into the interview, they asked me a question that they didn't ask other people. And but I was able to answer the question really well, because I felt, you know, because God had told me to, you know, do my work. And so I blew the question out of, you know, just out of the water and everybody was surprised and, you know, I made it in. And so I always feel like God was with me through the whole process and was helping me, you know, just walk through things. So, yeah, I feel like God was just always a part of the process. God was walking with me and was, you know, just kind of growing with me, I guess, or letting me grow through it all.
Oh, I love to hear that. That's really neat how the way, you know, I hear you saying is that you did really bring God into the process. I think a lot of, like, when I was looking back on my experience and on another episode with J-Mac and I, we talked about how I sort of brought God into the experience. J-Mac didn't bring God into the experience at all, you know, because we were just in different places in our faith. And so it's really neat to hear from you, Kimberly, of like, I did bring God in. And in fact, God was really close to me and really helped me discern through the experience and, you know, find favor with the sorority that I wanted to join. And so I love hearing that because I think so many of our listeners are like, oh, God's not present in this. Like, this will be my Greek life here and my, you know, Christian life here. Mm-hmm. But you really, from the beginning, it seems like you strove to pull those together, which is awesome. We need those kind of stories, I think, as Greeks. So Kim, I wanted to ask you this, and we're kind of, you know, you're talking about it a little bit, but I'd love to hear, you know, I shared a little bit about the NPHC, but I'd really love to hear from you specifically, what makes NPHC organizations unique, right? Like, we've had a guest from different councils on, and, you know, especially for students of color, I mean, you know, if you're thinking about a sorority or fraternity, I mean, there's so many options available to you now. And so I'd love to hear what makes the NPHC unique and what's one of some of the valuable things, in your opinion, about joining an NPHC organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think what makes MPHC unique is just the rich history and legacy that MPHC has, and just, you know, kind of what MPHC came out of, you know, that it came out of this, you know, it started at a time where, you know, Black people were being lynched often in this country. You know, Black people could not, you know, things were segregated, very limited in what we can do, that Black people were not seen as, you know, full human beings and just equal partners in society. And so, and also not even seen as people who should be educated, you know, who should be going to college and getting, you know, kind of higher level education. And so, but out of this context, you know, you see, you know, men and women, women forming these organizations to really empower and uplift our communities, to support each other through, you know, kind of the education experience, and to give back to Black people and the Black community, and really help us rise above, you know, the situations that we were facing and living in those days. And so, and I think just as, you know, it was relevant then, I think it's just as relevant now, you know, if we see kind of the current, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, and just the current kind of, calls for racial justice, you know, that that the Divine Nine of fraternities and sororities, that we have a role to play in that now, you know, to say that, you know, Black life is important, that Black people should be able to live and to thrive as much as anybody else. And so, yeah, and so it's been formed out of this legacy, and that I think that we continue to live into that legacy, and wanting to see our communities thrive and have what they need, and just people being able to live free and with joy and with happiness. So, yeah, so I think that's a big part of it, too. I also think just the culture, the things that have shaped MPHC over the years, you know, so along with kind of the work that we do in the community, I think also just the fun things that we do, you know, so if people think of like step shows, you know, people think of the strolling, even just some of the things that we do to build community and to have this sense of identity together, you know, so like our calls, just colors, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I think also makes us unique and sets us apart from other councils and, you know, the sororities and fraternities that, are out there. There's just this, I just think there's just this rich culture and legacy that you find within us that, other groups don't necessarily have. And it's because it's come from kind of the suffering and the things that we walk through.
Yeah, I love that. How, you know, the MPHC orgs, it's so important to care for the community. It's not just about yourself and your individual experience, your individual growth, but it's really about lifting up the Black community through your involvement. Mm-hmm. And we've heard, you know, our other guests that we've had on, Gary, our, you know, friend who's been on the podcast, who's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, and then from our guest, York, who's a Kappa Alpha Psi, about how, you know, this is not just like you by yourself growing personally. It is about caring for your community, you know, becoming a really good, you know, spouse, brother, sister, you know, a really good father and mother in the future, and a really good community member. And that those are really important things to develop.
Can I add one thing too? So I just forgot to mention, just also, because I was looking at my notes really quick, but just mentioning the leadership and the vision. You know, so, you know, yeah, kind of going back to that, we like to give back and we like to serve our communities. You know, I think there's also something just to be said that each organization is also unique in the ways in which they go about, you know, engaging the community, engaging leadership, you know, so a lot of the organizations have similar goals with different ways of going about doing it. And, you know, and yeah, I think when you look at the Black community and you look at who the leaders are, a lot of them are people who are part of, you know, one of the Divine Nine fraternities and sororities. And so, you know, I can't think of like everybody off the top of my head, but just using this as an example, you know, we look at our vice president, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, like she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, you know? And so it's just saying that as just like an example of like how so many people have developed their leadership skills through, you know, the MPHC Divine Nine fraternities and sororities. And so that was a big part of my experience too, where it was one of the first places where I got to walk out leadership and kind of, you know, figuring out what my gifts are and, you know, how do you run an organization? How do you put on events and programs and things like that?
Yes.
And so I think the Divine Nine is also important because it does a lot to build leadership and a lot of us in the Black community as well.
Absolutely. And the Black History Museum in Washington, D.C., I got a chance to visit it a couple summers ago, and there's a whole exhibit about the MPHC, which is pretty cool. And it was just neat to see, like, you know, the paraphernalia or memorabilia they have of, like, you know, people who were highly involved in the civil rights movement, who were activists, you know, and then you said, you know, leaders of our country, Kamala Harris. And it's just, it's an amazing legacy. I watched the AKA documentary 20 Pearls, and just, I knew that they were, like, AKA and other Black Greek organizations were involved with voting rights and civil rights, but I had no idea the depth and extent of it until I watched that. And so...
Yeah.
Well, you started talking a bit about your intake experience. And so I'd love to hear more about that. What was intake like for you? What did you love about that experience, pledging your sorority? And what was really challenging about it?
Yeah. So before I answer that question, you know, I think I want to just say to kind of give a little caveat, you know, with all of the Divine Nine fraternities and sororities, you know, we all have that, you know, disclaimer that none of us are hazing organizations, you know. So I think I want to say that, you know, just kind of upfront to say that that is a part of, that is a statement that we have, you know, that we don't participate in hazing and trying to do harm to people who want to come in. So, but I will say that, with the whole intake process that, you know, it does push you. It does push you to, kind of go beyond your limits and it pushes you out of your comfort zone, I think. You and others. And so as you go through this process, together, it kind of, you know, bonds you together, and you you learn teamwork and you learn how to collaborate well with each other. And it's kind of just this humbling experience that you go through to help you, I think, really maybe be aware of the organization that you're joining and kind of what it takes to be able to work well with other people and be self-aware about yourself, and become aware of the things that maybe are at work in you that you wouldn't normally otherwise be aware of.
I love that. Do you have like a favorite memory from pledging or favorite memory from that whole period of time before you crossed?
I don't know if I have a favorite memory. I mean, I think, well, actually, maybe I'll say it in the sense of like, in general terms, you know. And I'll say too, you know, like that is one thing about like our intake process. We just don't talk a whole lot about intake and like specific things that we did and that we went through. So, you know, a lot of times if you ask MPHC people about their process, you know, you're not going to get like a lot of specifics of we did this and we did that. But I will say, that probably the best memory for me is just thinking about how my line came together and how we, you know, we just had each other's back and we were always seeking to care for one another. I'll just say kind of in general terms, there was one time where I kind of messed up and I lost something that was, you know, was important and I was supposed to have. And when we found it, but it was kind of destroyed. And so my sands. So we call people who pledged on our line together, we call them our sands. And so because we crossed the burning sands together. So my sands work to kind of put together a whole new thing on the of what I lost. And so that we, you know, so that I would not get in trouble and so that the whole line would not get in trouble. And so, you know, that would be an example of how we came together and worked hard to, like, even though it was my mistake, you know, like everybody worked so that, you know, that we would have like what we needed and I would not be in trouble. So that's just one example.
Well, and what I hear from you is that, and I think this is true of a lot of Greek orgs, is that there's a sacredness to the things that happen, you know, whether it's during intake or initiation, you know, other Greek councils, what they call that. And I think that that's important to know going into it is that, you know, it's a sacred thing. I hear the term like sacred, not secret. Because it's not that we're trying to be weird and keep stuff, you know, creepily private. It's just, it's part of, you know, a sacredness of being part of this organization and what you're committing yourself to. And so just for our audience who's like, why isn't Kim being more specific? It's, I think that's a value in, I think, Greek organizations is keeping these collective experiences that are unique to Zeta Phi Beta or other organizations, keeping those sacred between its members. So thanks for sharing a little bit in how you could share with that. Well, you know, there's a stereotype, you know, where, you know, people are just like, oh, you can't be Greek and you can't be Christian. Mm-hmm. And I hear, we've already been hearing you say this, that you, from the beginning, you were including God in this process and really aware of his presence. And so how do you respond to that stereotype when people are like, oh, you can't be Greek, you can't be Christian, you need to renounce your letters if you joined a Greek org?
Well, one, I think you can be Greek and Christian. You know, I feel like I am proof of that. I know a whole bunch of other people who are proof of that. You know, I have friends who are, you know, pastors and they are Greek, you know, and they pledged alumni, you know, when they were already like in ministry and they pledged. So I think that you can be. I think it goes back to you determining who do you want to be in the organization, you know, and do you want to like let the organization make you or do you want to make the organization? And so I think that, you know, I think you be a person who finds your identity in Christ, you know, be rooted in Jesus, know what it means to walk with him and what it means to follow him, and then bring that into the organization with you, you know, be a light in the organization and not just in the organization, but, you know, to everybody around, like use your influence, you know, Greek organizations, particularly, in the Black community, on campus are gatekeepers, I think, to, a lot of what happens on campus. And so once you, if you're being a light in that organization, that, you know, there's not just the people within the organization that see that, but other people outside that you're influencing may see that too. And so I think just, you know, don't be ashamed, you know, like bring Jesus with you. Let people know who you are and what you're about and seek to implement, you know, Jesus, as you're thinking about programs, as you're thinking about different things that the, you know, your chapter can do, think about ways that, you know, you can put Jesus in that or sponsor your own kind of, you know, events or whatever within the organization. So you can do your own, try to do your own kind of like Bible study or, you know, discussion group within your chapter or make it open to the rest of campus. But you don't have to, you know, you can be both. And I think if there are things that your chapter is doing or things that you find within the organization that you don't agree with, I think make that known, you know, respectfully. Mm-hmm. But I think make it known to say, like, yeah, I just don't feel comfortable with this. You know, like, I want to be a part. I want to do, you know, certain things. But if there's some type of ritual or whatever that you don't agree with, I think it's okay to name that. And, you know, I don't, different organizations, different chapters may respond differently to that. And so I think, you know, you have to be willing to kind of walk out some of the consequences of that, but at least you can walk mm-hmm. In integrity to say, like, yeah, this is not comfortable and I don't feel okay doing that, you know. And so I think even if within my intake process, there were little things. It wasn't like they were asking me to do anything that was, you know, outrageous or bad, but there were just little things that I just didn't always feel comfortable doing or whatever. And so I just didn't do it, you know? And so, but they knew that about me and it was okay. And so they still took me anyway. And so I just think, you know, and this is true about whatever organization you're in. It's not just Greek. I think, you know, whatever business you're in, whoever you work for, whatever organization you're in, you have to know like who you are in Christ and what you're willing to do and what you're not, and what you, you know, feel like isn't helpful, you know, don't do it. Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying that that's just an easy thing to walk through or that it's always going to be like you work out well. But I think stand true to who, you know, to who you are.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a great word. And so after we finish up this, you know, 5-episode recruitment series, we're going to talk about pledging. And just the stuff that you're saying, you know, John and I have been working on our guests for the pledging series and, you know, our outlines for episodes. And it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like with you. Is that there are costs to when you say no to stuff. But at the same time, like if the organization really cares about you and you care about the organization, 9 times out of 10, they're going to respect, you know, your no. Right. And so I really appreciate that. Yeah. Just you saying that, because there is this level of boldness and just risk of putting yourself out there in your faith when you're pledging a fraternity or a sorority. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll come back because I want to hear more about Kimberly's experience of just being an active member of her sorority during college and beyond. We here at the Greek and Christian Podcast want to make sure that you're following a friend of ours, Miss Katie Bulmer. Katie is a keynote speaker to over 60 sororities nationwide. Her marketing background led her to discover how sorority women truly have world-changing power and how they can use it for good. And you know what? You will love her podcast. It's called Truth for Your 20s, and she talks all about faith, dating, God's design for sex, and so much more. And make sure to find her on TikTok. You'll love following her hilarious and truth bomb-filled content. Consider booking Katie for your next sorority event. All of that info can be found on her website or her social media. And she's made it super easy for you. It's all under the username Katie Bulmer Life, or her website, which is katiebulmer.life. So again, follow Katie today at Katie Bulmer Life. Okay, so we are back with Kimberly, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated member. And she shared with us in the first part that she pledged her sorority sophomore year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I'd love to hear, so you crossed over, and then, you know, I would love to hear more about your experience after that, of what that was like mm-hmm. for you during the rest of college. What was your involvement like? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like, in some ways I feel like a broken record, you know, after I crossed over, So I will say that first year, I think that was my junior year. You know, I think, again, I was still in this place of kind of turmoil, you know, where I, you know, wanted to follow Jesus and was trying to, you know, be a Christian, whatever. And, but also still also enjoying college life, I guess you could say, and kind of living it up out there. And so, you know, for that first year, there was still a lot of kind of, you know, just juggling the fence, I guess you could say. And trying to follow Jesus, as best as I could at that time, but I'm doing it imperfectly. And so it, yeah, so I went on that way for a while. I still was talking about Jesus to people. And, you know, yeah, would still do different things. And so there was just this, you know, kind of tug of war. And I think once I got to, so I was a 5-year student. So I had a, I had switched my majors, and so I had to have an extra
year. Me too. Yep, I called the victory lap.
Yes, yes, that's a good way to put it. And so that first senior year was when I really actually fully surrendered my life to the Lord. That was when I just kind of got to the point where I said, okay, Lord, I surrender to you, and I don't want to necessarily juggle the fence. And so I just fully gave my life to the Lord. And that was a totally good thing. And it allowed me to, you know, do ministry and come on staff and all this. But I think some of the outcome of that, and I just wish I had somebody to help me navigate it better, was that I kind of, I didn't completely walk away from my sorority. But I think I was making decisions that were not always the best, I think, in helping me love my sorority sisters. So I'll go back. Let me go back to before I get to that to say, like, even in that time where I was juggling the fence, Sorry. I'm getting my time mixed up. So yeah, so I did surrender my life to the Lord. And so for part of that process, it was good, you know, and so I was, again, still with my sorority, still trying to walk out living for Jesus and being fully surrendered and not juggling the fence. And it was good. And I was helpful to people, I think. You know, there are times I remember where, in particular, one of my sororers, so we call our sorority sisters in the group with us sororers. So one of my sorors, I remember there was one night where I couldn't sleep and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to be awake. And then, you know, one of my sorors, she had called me and she was like, you know, I'm just kind of struggling. Can you come over? And so was able to go over to her, that night and just talk to her about where she was at with the Lord and how she was struggling and all that. And, you know, again, because I tried to be open about my relationship with Jesus, you know, she felt comfortable calling me, and us being able to talk and me being somebody to walk with her as she, you know, in that season was trying to grow closer to the Lord. So there were times where it was good. But there were other times too, as I kind of went further along, where I started to kind of separate myself from my sorority and, you know, some of my people. And I wish that I had actually not done that. I wish that I had done a better job of not feeling like I had to, because I was trying to be fully surrendered to Jesus, that I was, that I needed to come completely out of the sorority life. And that I was, my big thing was, I don't want to go to parties anymore. You know, the music is bad, so I don't want to go to parties. And so I stopped going to parties and things like that. And I wish, you know, now that I had to, somebody had helped me be more balanced to be like, no, it is okay for you to go to the party. It is okay for you to be present and just be there. And again, take Jesus with you and don't do anything, you know, that would not represent him well. But be present to people because God can use you in that space. So I wish I had done a better job of not pulling away.
I'm with you in that. Like when I think about the things that I regret or would have done differently in college, it was never like, I wish I would have stayed in more. And maybe that's some people, right? I think there are people out there like, oh, I should have studied more, had better grades. But I felt the same way. I felt that tension, Kimberly, of how do I bring Jesus with me into these spaces? I mean, the truth is he's already there. He's already there at the parties, you know, but for me, you know, I was just like, I think I really doubted, is he actually there? And in a lot of ways, it was just easier to not be present with my sisters at those events. Yet, I really think I missed opportunities to be with them and to love them well. And that is something I look back and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have gone out more. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like breaking away actually broke a lot of trust too.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear from you, you know, as you think about those who are actives or they've crossed over and they identify as Christian, you know, do you have any challenging or encouraging words for them?
Yeah, so I would say one, just understand the influence that you have, the potential to really influence a lot of people for Jesus. And so, so be bold in that and shine a light for Jesus in the midst of that. You know, again, kind of how I said earlier, like, you just have an opportunity to influence a good number of people. You have an opportunity to influence the campus climate. So really understand that, you know, you've really been kind of given this opportunity to live for Jesus. And that's not as to be like pressure, you know, like that could be fearful or something, but like, yeah, you just really have this really good opportunity to make Jesus known. And you don't have to like walk as some perfect, you know, Christian who never messes up. But live transparently and let people see your walk, you know, let people see what it looks like to live for Jesus. And even if you mess up, you know, what does repentance look like even in the midst of that? You know, what does grace look like in the midst of that? But to, again, you know, do things that open the door and help create space for people to engage with the Holy Spirit, for people to engage with Jesus for themselves, because Jesus is there. Jesus is working in people. And so it's just about partnering with him to seeing, you know, how he wants to move and how he wants to use you to be a part of that. And you can really plant seeds in people's lives that really make a difference for, you know, a long time to come. So understand that and be bold and use the opportunity to influence your organization, but also the campus in ways that'll really make a difference in somebody's life.
Oh, that's so good. Well, and you know, what you just shared, you know, you had also shared that story of your sorority sister and how you just could not go to bed. Like you just could not go to sleep and God kept you up for a purpose because your soror needed you in that moment. And you were able to be present and not only be present with her, but actually have a conversation with her about Jesus. And I just love that you were responsive. You were responsive to the Holy Spirit. You had already been, you know, welcoming Jesus into your sorority experience. And I like what you said too, like not perfectly, don't get that messed up. Yeah. This is not a perfect experience by any means. But yeah, just the things that you got to see, you know, some of your sisters being open to Jesus. And I know for me, like even years later, you know, some of my sorority sisters will reach out to me and say like, hey, remember when you used to lead that Bible study? You know, I want you to know, I really appreciate that you did that. I know I never showed up, but you know, it just, it made me see a different side of faith than I ever have before. And so, yeah.
And even as you mentioned that, I just also think too, how the world is changing and culture is changing and how much people really, you know, people really may not go to church, but they will really sit down with somebody and get in scripture and want to talk about Jesus and talk about different things. And so again, just the opportunity that you have to be a person that somebody can come to, you can look at scripture with them and just really, you know, plant seeds for people or give them space to encounter Jesus in ways that are going to be helpful to them. And I just think if you can learn that now, even as you're young and in college, that is going to take you a long way even after you graduate in learning those skills and how to engage with people in that way.
That's so great. Well, Kimberly, I'd love for, you know, if people are hearing this, right? Because Greek IV helps develop leaders. We want to help you learn how to lead in your fraternity and sorority, and BCM, Black Campus Ministries, also does that. And so I would imagine people are listening to this and they're like, oh, I really want to connect with BCM. Like, is there a BCM near me? How would a student go about, you know, finding out about Black Campus Ministries, connecting with you, and getting connected in general to the ministry?
So I would say probably the easiest way is to go to the website. And I believe that it's bcm.univarsity.org, that is probably the easiest way. And you can go there and you can see like where, if there is a BCM chapter close to you. If there's not, then totally, we would help you start one. You know, we want to, you know, empower students. And so we would totally help somebody gather Black students together to be able to talk and be community and to grow in Jesus and the Word together. So there are contact information for me and for other people on the website. So I would totally just recommend going there. And then that way you can find out more information. You could also probably talk to a staff person near you. They might know how to connect you with BCM and maybe some other BCM folks locally, or if they're not local to you, maybe some of the people, other people like me who have regional BCM coordinator positions that are near you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, while she was sharing, I opened my web browser and looked up the website. So it is bcm.intervarsity.org. It's a good looking website, I have to say. And they're also on Instagram. So yes, if you want to follow them on Instagram, it's just at Black Campus Ministries. And I'm sure you can slide into their DMs and they'll connect you as well. But yeah, we don't want you to do this whole Greek thing alone, Greek and Christian thing alone.
Right.
I mean, Kimberly said it. She wished she had someone who could mentor her through the process. And I've said the same thing on the podcast, so that I wish I had that kind of mentor who could have helped me really grapple with the tension, or as you said, juggling the fence, you know, of being Greek and Christian. And we want to do that for you. BCM has amazing mentors that they want to hook you up with. Greek IV does as well. And so, you know, don't be afraid to reach out. And we'll put all this information in our show notes as well. But Kimberly, thank you so much again for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Really appreciate just you sharing your experience.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a good time. Thank you, Allison.
The Greek and Christian Podcast is produced by Greek InterVarsity, a nonprofit college ministry for fraternity and sorority students. Our ultimate vision is to see every fraternity and sorority connected to a community of Greek Christians, so that every Greek is just one friend away from knowing and following Jesus. To learn more, find a community on campus, or partner with us, visit greek.intervarsity.org.